All right, I got a couple more questions left. One is from someone on the blog who just identified themselves as some unpronounceable word. So we'll just call him Billy Bob.
Okay.
Billy Bob says, how do you find your buyers for the high-end residential deals over $500,000? My biggest fear, remember we asked people to say what their biggest fears were. My biggest fear is to get a contract accepted and not have a buyer. I looked at a property today, for example, an REO in a $900,000 neighborhood, a $1.7 million home next door with a pool and sport court. Bank bought this back for $513,000. I want to buy it, put $15,000 in three balconies that are rotted and need replaced, new carpet for master, blah, 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 lots of landscaping weeds, total cost $25,000. But how do you find an end buyer without listing it in the MLS?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the higher priced house, the more you're going to have to get it in front of people to get someone to buy it. Also, the more aggressively priced, I believe, you're going to have to price it to get somebody to buy it right now. People with money are smart. When you're talking about million-dollar plus houses, or even, you know, depending on some areas, $500,000 and up houses, which would be relevant for St. Louis area where I live, it's a different type of buyer. And those buyers that have money right now, they're still spending money. However, they want a deal. So houses that were $2 million where I live just a couple years ago, unless we're able to get it to somebody for $750,000 right now, they're not going to buy it. So price is king. So how do you buy something or how do you sell something in his situation? Well, when you're talking about an REO, that's a whole different story. Because in order to buy an REO, you're putting in a contract on the property. You're putting in a contract on the property. You're committing to going to closing. You're putting up an earnest money deposit. When you don't go to closing, you're losing your earnest money deposit. And you're basically committing to buying the house. With a short sale, we're doing something a little bit different. We are usually writing up the purchase of the house with what's called an option contract. So we're giving ourselves the option to purchase the property. If something comes up and we choose not to purchase the property, we can choose not to exercise our option legally. We do not have to exercise our option. Now, for that, we also have to have an option deposit of some kind. So we're going to have to put up something for that option, but we don't have to put up $1,000 or $10,000 on a high-end property like an REO would require. We can put up essentially whatever we want, as little as $100. So I'm kind of getting off topic here a little bit, but, you know, how do you find a buyer before you have to buy the property? Well, what I would suggest is you set up the deal to where if something goes wrong in the deal, you have another option. So that's why I use options. When we write something up with an option contract, it gives us the option of whether or not we want to close. Now, my intent is always to close. My intent is always to get the deal bought. Even if I don't have a buyer lined up already, my intent is to close the deal. But an option gives me a way out just in case I need it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. May I add something to that?
Yeah.
One of the things that I've had the benefit of doing is learning a lot over the last couple of years from Bob Norton, our mutual friend, and he has recently started playing in bigger deals with an extra zero in the end and has really pushed hard to move into that arena. And one thing that you might find helpful, rather than treating this house like it's in a vacuum, you know, just the numbers themselves, think about the price range of homes or the area, the niche that this home is in, right? And ask yourself, who is the market expert, the realtor who really works that market? Who is there's got to be more than likely the go-to person who gets all the referrals for those type of deals, who just kind of owns that area. They're usually tied into the buyers. They know what price point moves a house like that in their area and what doesn't. So one challenge I would put in front of you is to step outside of that property and look for a market expert in that specific type of house or area, and then go to them and ask them that same question and say, look, for the people you have who buy, would this house sell quickly for $500,000? You know, just basically connect with them and glean that information from them. That's a huge strategy that Bob has used to sell a lot of those houses quickly in the upper price range.
Absolutely, and I'll just jump in real quick because I want to add, rather than throwing a number out there to that agent, I want you to ask them like this. I would rather have you say, what would it take, Mr. or Mrs. Agent, in your professional opinion, to get this house bought and sold, to get a contract on it and have it close within 30 days? Because now you're getting a real number. Sometimes when I go to an agent and they may be rooting for my business, for example, rooting for me to hopefully list this property with them, they might give me a different answer than if I worded it how I just explained. So I want to go to them and say, what number do you think it's going to take to get this thing sold within 30 days? Because now they're going to be a little bit more aggressive with their number. And I would rather them be aggressive and me not get a house because I have to get it cheaper than I actually do, than them be aggressive and price it too high, and now I'm stuck into a house that I'm into for way too much, and I'm basing it off of opinion of someone who thought that they were going to get a listing, which is why they might have said that price.
Absolutely. Very, very much better spent. Also, consider going into the MLS in this area and look for houses that have sold for the last 60 days. Have any of them sold really fast? And if so, what can you ascertain as to why? Were they at a certain price point? Is there a segment of the market where this type of house moves really fast that you can identify from the last 60 days? Look at the pendings. Is there anything that went pending quickly, like in 10 days or less in that price in this area? If so, see if you can find out why. And I would say even look at the current listings for these type of houses and see if you can see if, I mean, it's possible there could be, you could see some helpful information in terms of what the actual retail value is just based on the current listings. So just,
you know,
just
one reason I love questions like this, these are like real life questions. The guy's got a property that he's considering buying right now. It's a real life story. It's not a hypothetical what if. And this is one of the reasons that I enjoy our events so much, is because in 4 days, not only can I teach a lot, but after every single module, what we do is we do Q&A, and we do not move forward until everyone has their questions answered. So we take real-life examples like this, real-life stories that people are going through, or real-life deals that people are going through, and we solve them right there in the room, where now that person can literally go out and make the offer that either we suggested in the room or use some of the strategies that some other people and myself in the room may have included in their responses, and it's just awesome. I mean, sometimes we learn the most from getting questions like this answered, not only our own questions, but hearing the quality of other people's questions. So thank you guys for all these. They're really good, and they're necessary.
Okay, I do have one more, actually. This came via email. This will be my last question I'll throw in here.
Okay.
It's a multi-part question. I'm just going to ask you a segment of it. This is from Tricia, and the reason I'm putting this question here is I can tell she's really wrestling with the short sale concept and whether or not it's a good fit for her.
Mm-hmm.
She was on the webinar Thursday, which is why she's writing. First of all, Tricia, you're asking if I do short sales myself, and I said this on the webinar, but let me clarify. I have done short sales, but short sales is not my focus. It's not my niche. It's not because the opportunity isn't there. It's just, I focus in other areas. This is.
Are you saying that for you? Are you saying that for you personally? Or are you talking as though she's talking, saying that?
I'm sorry. That's for me personally, because that was the first part of her question. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So I just want to be sure we're real clear on that. And she says, I love capital L-O-V-E, like others, the idea of being able to make big bucks, but I'm gun shy of all the bureaucratic red tape and having to spend hours on hold at the banks, et cetera. Is that really what it's all about? Just how hard, in reality, are these short sales? I know everything is marketing, but with one out of three people, or close to it nationwide, going into foreclosure, just how easy or hard is it to find houses with equity or to actually get the BPO where there is a margin for profit? In short, JP, given the above, short sales and dealing with banks would likely be the last pick on my list of real estate investing techniques. However, with my real estate investing foundation now, there wasn't one thing I couldn't follow with Sean on that call. And I think if others can do it, why can't I? It's clearly priced right, speaking of the boot camp, but now it's really an issue of time more than anything, apart from the airfare and hotel where I to attend. Still, if I zoom in on short sales, I won't have time to learn wholesaling or any other tactics. But I'm down to the barrel now financially, and I just thought being able to pocket $35,000 or $50,000 or more at minimum makes me take a second look.
Well, let me paint a realistic picture, first of all. You get a lot of gurus out there saying that every deal is going to be a $50,000 deal. It's not. And there is, I don't care what strategy that you're going after, whether it's wholesaling or REOs, rehabbing, lease options, short sales, whatever you're dealing in, there are going to be some parts of the process that you love and some parts that you don't love. So I have a couple of recommendations for you. And I'm actually really glad that you brought this up because tell me her name again. I'm sorry.
Tricia.
Tricia. Because, Tricia, if you're feeling this way, there's other people that are feeling this way as well. So I have a couple of recommendations for you. If there's parts of this process that you don't enjoy, I'm going to suggest you do one of two things. Either you outsource those to somebody else, and I don't just mean paying somebody an hourly wage. You can set some of these deals up to where you're outsourcing part of the process to someone else and splitting a percentage of the deal with them if you want to do it that way.
Even the bank negotiations.
Even the bank negotiations. And that's one of the things we are going to talk about, how to get somebody else to do your negotiations for you at the event. But that being said, for some people, even still, if they're going to outsource parts of the process, even just the process of short sales, it may not be for you. It's not for everyone. Rehabbing, for example, is not for me. I'm not a big rehabber. I just don't enjoy the process. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't take on rehab properties and wholesale those types of deals off to other rehabbers. There's still opportunities there. That's why on our call last week, I said, listen, if all this information does for you is teach you how to effectively hand off the short sale deals that you're going to come up against off to another experienced person who will know how to do it, and you can make a referral fee on all those, if that's all it does, would that be worth your time and $197, which is all the event is costing you? And so if the answer is yes, then you come. But here's the reality. I don't care what strategy that you're doing. Short sales are a necessary evil right now. And in my opinion, even if you don't want to do them, you better understand them, because if you're doing any type of marketing whatsoever, you're going to come across short sales. And you have two choices. You can either say, forget every short sale that comes across my desk, or you can understand enough about the process to be able to interview somebody that you know is going to be effective at taking care of the leads that you send them, then send those leads off to somebody else and get a piece of the deal for providing the lead in the first place and then not even doing another thing after that. I've got some students that they do not work on short sales at all. All they do is they know the process. Because they know the process, they know who to hand their deals off to. And in their natural course of marketing, let's say they're marketing for free and clear properties or for wholesale deals, or let's say they're marketing to expired listings, for example, and try to find houses with equity. The challenge is, as I said to you guys on the call the other night, almost 98% of my incoming calls don't have equity, or they certainly don't have enough equity for me to buy it cheap enough that I need to buy it at. So since 98% of the calls that we get don't have equity, and a lot of those calls are in need of short sales, I have two choices. I can either throw them away, and I've wasted my money on marketing to 98% of my people, or I can know the process, I can refer those leads off to somebody else, and I can get a small piece of the pie for doing what I'm already doing anyway. So I know that's kind of a long-winded answer, but to sum it up, two things. Either take them on and outsource the parts of the process that you don't love. I would never encourage you to go get into a business that you don't like parts of the process. If you don't like parts of the process, outsource those out to somebody else. Or at the very least, even if you're not going to do any short sales or outsource any of it, refer it off to somebody else who will handle it and get a fee for that. There's money in getting in giving someone just a lead, even if it's not anywhere near being closed. A lead has value. So I would say utilize it just for that.
Very good. All right, my friend, thank you. I think I can tell from the difference in sound you probably arrived at your destination in Wisconsin. So I will, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. That was all the questions I had in queue. Thank you for carving out some extra time to get those answered. I appreciate it. I know everyone else does. Guys, I'll put a replay to the webinar. Please check it out. You'll see a link in the blog post here. Check it out if you haven't already. And if you're interested in Sean's boot camp offer, it's a ridiculous offer. Just go to the second link or callwithjp.com and you can see the details on that. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks.